we'll sing a song. Are you reading this evening, Lord?
Yep.
Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength, for the roof over our heads, for lights, Lord, for a bit of heat. I pray that you bless the time that we've set aside to spend with you. Please just keep your good hand upon us. Open our understanding, Father, and help us to grow a bit as Christians between now and the time we leave. Please do that line. Pray, Lord, that you would just touch your face and heal your jaw. Please also be Pat, Steve, Colin, Will, and especially for Christine and Mary Ann right now. We do indeed thank you, Lord, for looking after William and his church. And there's a lot going on. Pray for Tom, Pat, Lord, that couple over in Dundee. For Ed Bissett, Lord, as he prepares to go on with more treatment for his cancer.
Bladder,
that's it. I was thinking about it. But please, Lord, please. I pray, you know your children, Lord, and you know the things that are going through, and I pray it is for your good hand upon us all. Please deliver us this day our daily bread. Please restore backsliders. Please strengthen those that love you. Keep our eyes on you. And Lord, please hinder at every turn those that are optimistic. Just hinder them, Lord. Oppose them. Father, even defeat them. I pray that, Father, please, be one of our number this evening. Thank you for loving us and watching with us. Please protect and provision and guide Israel at this time too. And Lord, for all these politicians, for all these people that are in power and up there for the right reason, and up the government, Lord, hold them even in their sleep. Love you and thank you. We pray that you would again be in our company this evening. And we ask all this in the name of your Son Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's take the black hymn books to start with, and we'll sing number 13. Number 13 is the idea of Great Jehovah. Favorite,
let's make a joyful noise.
Thank you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from the henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and despite us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me, I am the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whosoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At the day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Ye that have my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, Not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, The man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keep not my sayings, and the words which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring things to your remembrance. Whosoever I have said unto you, whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you, and peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye will rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before I come, it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye believe me. Ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and that the Father gave me commandment. Even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Amen.
Chapter 14, I'm sure many times you only ever hear it read at funerals, but there are some amazing promises in there for anybody that reads it. I want to remind everybody to make sure they have the wee prayer list. Has anybody got anything to add to our prayer list? Yes, Mrs. Brown.
Just to remind you that Frank
comes
home tomorrow, that's already on there.
Frank flies home. Yep,
it's Chinese New Year this weekend, isn't it? Whenever you see him, you can wish him a happy new year or a Xin Yan Hao. That's what it is in Chinese. Although you might be as well to Google that and just make sure I said it. this is the time of year that is celebrated by Chinese culture at the beginning of the new year. And if you give it another, what is it, another month and a half or 2 months, it will be the new year for those that worship money. It's the financial new year. After that, please do remember that. Nothing else to add then. Okay, let's sing another song. We'll go to the Wee Black Books. And number, was it 29? Have you, John? Precious Lord, take my hand. Number 29 in the Wee Black Books, Precious Lord, take my hand. Let's go to that.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, have mercy.
Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" And he said, "Men and brethren and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Charan, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I shall show thee. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Charan, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none such inheritance in it, no, not so much to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. And God spake in this wise, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage, and entreat them evil 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave them the covenant of circumcision. So Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs, in other words, the 12 tribes of Israel. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him, and delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favour and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him and all his kindred, 75 souls, that's 75 people. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers, and were carried over into Sychem and laid in the sepulchre that Abraham bought for a son of mine, of the sons of Emor, the father of Sychem. But when the time of the promise drew nigh, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose which knew not Joseph. The same dealt subtly with our kindred, and evil entreated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children, to the end they might not live. In which time Moses was born, and was exceeding fair, and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and deeds. When he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him, and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver, but they understood not. And the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove, and would have set them at one again, saying, "Sirs, your brethren, why do ye wrong one to another?" But he that did his neighbour wrong thrust him away, saying, "Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday?" Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight as he drew near to behold it. The voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, "I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, "Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt." Is Moses whom they refused, saying, "Who made thee a ruler and a judge?" The same that God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer,
by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. And he brought them out. After that he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is that Moses which said to the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, your brethren, like unto me, and shall ye hear. And shall ye hear. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake unto him on Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust them from them. Then their hearts turned back unto Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us, for as for this Moses which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. They made a calf in those days, and offered sacrifice unto the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets. In ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifice by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Renphan, figures which ye made to worship them. I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion which he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favour before God, and desired to find a tabernacle for the God. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of the angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on them with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And then he had said this, he fell asleep. Amen. Thanks, James. And people don't. Let's have a quick prayer, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for preserving for us your word, and we pray your blessing upon us, portions of wisdom for each one of us, Lord, as we take this time. Please help us to understand, to learn, and to grow. Fill in just a wee blind spot, or even, Lord, give us a reminder. But we pray most importantly for your will to be done. Wherever your people are, wherever your children are, Lord, I pray this evening. Please bless and keep. And just give us our daily bread. Thank you for loving us, for your Son, Christ Jesus, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and for your work. And we pray your good hand upon us. We love you. I know that was a lot of reading. I think that took me nearly 10, 15 minutes to read that. I'm not going to go back over it except very, very quickly. From my notes and not from this. What Stephen was doing here, he had one shot. I don't know if the Lord, if he knew he was going to step off into heaven, but he preached like he hadn't a care in the world. And he went right away from Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. He spoke on Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes of Israel.
And he spoke also of Joseph. If you ever take time to read through the book of Joseph, you will you read it as an example of the life that Christ led, forsaken and rejected of his brethren, and taken away into and sold as a slave, which Jesus was, raised up to the right hand of the Father, which he was with Egypt, and delivered his people, which he did for nearly 400 years. And we know that history bears this out. The children of Israel, after a huge famine that went on for over 7 years, went into Egypt, into a place prepared by God through Joseph, and the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, was more than happy to give a portion of his country over to the 75 people that came, and whatever flocks it was and belongings that they brought, and they grew to tens of thousands of people in 400 years. And they grew, and they were looked after, and they were appreciated because they were of the people that saved the whole nation, that saved the king, made the Pharaoh one of the richest men in the world. If you read the time back in Genesis, you will read all about how he got everybody's money, and he even got the deeds to their flocks and their lands, and everybody paid Pharaoh a rental back just to have their own stuff. Such was the effect of the famine. But anyway, Stephen also preached about Moses, the lawgiver. Himself nearly a victim of the harsh persecution that was put upon the children of Israel. The laws that were enacted in the land to make life really difficult, literally to force mothers and fathers to kill their children, to throw them into the Nile. But we do know that Moses was taken and raised by Pharaoh's daughter. We read about how he, I'm going to say advocated on behalf of the children of Israel, but how he literally killed an Egyptian that was beaten, an Israeli slave. And he had to leave the country and came back after meeting with God to deliver his people. We see the defeat of all of the Egyptian gods, and it doesn't go into details. And we know that that finished off with the death of the firstborn by the destroyer, and where we get the song, "When I see the blood, I will pass over thee." And because the Lord commanded the blood of a lamb to be put on a hyssop and daubed on the lintels and of the door, and anybody that was in there, when the destroyer saw the blood, he would pass over the house, and if he didn't see the blood, he would enter into the house, and he would kill the firstborn. And then we see the other spoiling of Egypt, because the people were so heartbroken that they just let the children of Israel borrow gold and silver and precious stones, and then they left. And a day or two later, when Pharaoh came to his senses after grieving the loss of his son, he sent all his armies after them. But by this point, God had taken the lead in his people. He, as a pillar of fire by day and a pillar of cloud, or pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud during the day. And we know that God opened the Red Sea. The children of Israel walked through it on dry land, and whenever the Egyptian armies tried to go through, the waters came back down and killed them all. We know that Moses was given the law up on Mount Sinai. We know that, goodness, the hearts of men are so bad that even though he was only away for 40 days and 40 nights, that the people were already turned to idols, as the Lord said to Moloch, and other immoralities and idolatries of the other gods. Just in case you're wondering, I'm not that up on the god Ren fan, although he does get a mention or two from time to time. I do know one of the sacrifices, if you want to call it that way, that pleased, in quotes, the god Molech, just the devil, was little children being thrown into the fires that were lit to worship and praise him, into the statues. And We think that we're wonderful, but we're still doing it. In our abortion clinics, we're throwing little children into fires to make our lives easier and make our lives more profitable. We haven't changed that. But anyway, it is interesting to note that just about all of these things talk about God's salvation and people's failures and wandering away from God, God's chastening, even God's judgment. And it goes on to mention even about David and Solomon. And these were not the first kings. It was Saul, David, and Solomon. And we think whenever we read about these great men, we think of, if I said King David, immediately people think of David and Goliath. And I saw a guy throwing a sling the other day, and I think he was able to throw a stone for 500 yards with a sling. And hit his target, the sling maybe about 3 foot long. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. When we think of Solomon, what do we think of? We think of the wisest man in the world who was, in his first demonstration of his wisdom, was going to divide the harlot's child between two prostitutes. We think about David killing the bear and the lion and then Goliath. But you need to realize something. Even David and even Solomon were just signs of people that didn't want to worship God. They demanded kings, even though some of the kings were great kings, they demanded a king that they could see instead of worshiping and praising a God that couldn't see. The kings were a sign of failure. All of these miracles and all of these demonstrations of power, they happened for hundreds, thousands of years. And you might think, well, they only started with Abraham. If you were to check the timeline in the Bible, Abraham knew Noah. I think there was like a 100-year overlap between Noah and Abraham. So if you wanted to know anything else, all you had to do was go and see Noah. He's an old fella, but he's still alive. 100 years. These weren't flash in the pan things that God was entering into this world to do. This is quite literally, the whole of God's word is an account of God working in the world with his people, on his people, and through his people. It's not a coincidence. It's not the exploits of an extraordinary individual. It's not like the Marvel universe or the DC universe where superheroes can do these amazing things. It's not a list of individual jobs. When you take them together, and sadly a lot of people don't choose a great God that doesn't just love the children of Israel or doesn't just love David and Solomon, but all of us. God gave everyone an opportunity to come to him. That's the love of God. And people came from all over. We've mentioned it in previous sermons. You'd Naaman the leper, you'd Nebuchadnezzar, you'd Rahab the harlot, you'd Ruth the Moabite, and many of them. Whenever we read these, we read of God's judgment. Whenever he chastened the children of Israel for their wrongdoing. It didn't mention it, but whenever they wandered through the wilderness, he sent serpents among them after they burnt and complained. He made sure that they went through the wilderness for 40 years. It should only have taken them a month or two. But God made them wander around the wilderness for 40 years. So all of the naysayers, all of the gurners, oh, why are we here? Why can we not stay at home in Egypt? It was so good then. Well, they were all dead. When we read this, we read about God's righteousness and only allowing the perfect into heaven to do that. You're not going to get to heaven unless you're perfect. And you'll only do that whenever you trust in Christ as your Savior and when God looks at you. He sees Christ. When we read it, we see a God that controls like every aspect of reality. Storms, floods, earthquakes, whirlwinds, fire, lightning, even our bodies, healings, and resurrections. The laws of physics, just they take a break when God commands them to. And the water stopped moving. He was able to cast out devils, even make time go backwards. He did that in 2 Kings. I think he made the clock go back 10 degrees in the sun. And of course we know that even today, or between there and now, the Lord repeated many of these, and using Jesus, in the presence of anybody that would come to him. And word of it went everywhere. It wasn't done in secret. And you know what the sad thing about it is? We read about the reactions of these people, these scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, these people that should have been out there beating the drum for Jesus and having a picker parade whenever he fulfilled the prophecies that were given about him. They should have been taking the robes off and hanging them on and saying, Lord, we know it's you. Teach, preach, heal us, rule us. Sadly, only a very few ever accepted. And most people rejected. You would think that with God being such a constant fixture, people would have been on their hands and knees saying, God, please save us. You would think that. With all the fulfilled prophecy, and there were a few that took the time and looked. But even now, 2,000 years later, when we literally live in a day when biblical prophecy is happening, you would think that whole nations would be saying, my goodness, this stuff is happening, it's on the news. Even those that hate God are only fulfilling biblical prophecy. We need to get right with God, because the stuff that's happening was written in the Bible thousands of years ago, and it's coming true right now. Prophecies about Israel are 2,500 years old, at least. You would think that more folks would be saved. You really would. You would think that every single church would be firing people up and saying, Jesus is coming back. Look at all these things that are happening. You would think that. Remember what Mary used to say whenever prophecy was fulfilled? 2, maybe 3 times it said in the Word of God, Mary kept all these things in her heart and pondered them. And we ought to. Sadly, because people really haven't changed very much. Most have the same reaction that the religious people had back in the day. Anyone ever heard of that bloke, Archbishop Welby? The guy that, the wee skinny guy with the glasses, he looks like a piece of string. And he's a pagan, he's a heretic, and yet he's ruling one of the biggest churches, and the biggest church in the UK. He sits in a big chair. He gets to look and sound important, but he denies the saving power of Jesus Christ. He just loves to hear, oh, you're so wonderful, and your robes look so good. And your hat, it's looking a bit funny, but it's your hat. You know what the Lord said to folks like that? He said, you're of your father, the devil. He was a liar and a murderer from the very beginning, and his work should do. This is what they did to Stephen, and this is what they will do to you and me. When you talk to folks about Christ, if you have it in you and you have the wherewithal, tell them about all the stuff that Jesus has done, where the law came from, all the people that were involved in bringing it to us today. Do you know what it's going to do to people? It's going to cut them to their hearts. That's what it says in verse 54. When they heard the gospel, they were cut to their hearts. And the Bible says they gnashed on Stephen with their teeth. In other words, they shouted him down, they insulted him, they told stories about him, they lied about him. As we read on in verse number 57, it says here, they cried out with a loud voice. They tried to shout over him so that nobody could hear the verse, the things that he was saying. And they told lies about him. Stopped their ears, stopped listening, and ran upon him with one accord. In other words, because he was one man, and they were many men, what did they immediately think? We can give him a duffin, Nobody can point a finger at us because there's a whole bunch of us and we'll never have to pay for that in the eyes of the law. And they grabbed them. They tried to get rid of them, get them out of their sight. In other words, to cast them out, take them away from all the people. Nobody else needs to hear this. And then in verse 59, they stoned them. They will try and do that. If they can't get you, they will try and destroy what it is that you're trying to say. Killed Stephen for preaching the gospel, thinking they could get away with doing it. They will do it again. That's why people are not your... there's really two sorts of people in the world. There's those that accept Christ and there's those that reject Christ. And that's it, quite simply. But if you think that they're not going to do it again, you just take a moment and you peruse our news for those purveyors of false gospels, for the lies of Islam. And you think about the BLM riots and the pro-Palestinian riots and the pro-Gaza riots and sorry, peaceful protests. I keep getting that mixed up. And when people think that they can get away with stuff, they will do it. That's why they wear masks, and that's why they think that there's no consequences. But there are. Technically, the message is people never change, and they don't. Times might change, and habits might change, clothing might change, and the foods that we eat has definitely changed. The gadgets that we have and use has changed. The language as well. And the features of our homes. Features of our transport. And so much more. But people don't. And neither does God. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his prophecies don't change. He's coming back. And one way or another, everybody is going to stand in front of God. For everyone that's saved, it's going to be well done. You made it. You overcame the world, the flesh, and the devil to accept me as your Savior. Well done. And you even managed to do a few things for me when you're on there. Good for you. Good for you. I'm going to meet him as a friend, a Savior, a helper and a guide, a loving God, a forgiving God. But most folks, the lost souls, you're going to meet him as a judge, fresh out of hell, soon to be cast into the lake of fire. And God doesn't want that. God wants all men everywhere to be saved. But that doesn't mean that all men everywhere are going to heaven. That is God's desire, but he leaves the final choice up to us. And I am just as thankful that we have the same free will that we were made with when we were called up out of the ground. We have the same Savior that called us up out of the ground, that gave us life in the cross of Calvary for us. That hasn't changed. And our need for it hasn't changed either. It's still free, forever, and sure. Never lose it, because Jesus looks after it. You can do as much with it as you like, or as little with it as you like. And it takes up no space in your life, whether you have a big house or a little house. But the thing is, you won't get into heaven. That hasn't changed either. Sin is still sin. Penalty for it is still the same. And it's more than any man can pay. This is a promise of God. It's from John chapter 10. It says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they, that's you and me, might have life, and that they, again, that's you and me, might have it more abundantly. It hasn't changed. God needed more in the Bible, there'd be more in the Bible. The Bible might have had the last full stop put in it about 2,000 years ago. But that last full stop carries us for another, at least another 1,007 years in this world. It's longer than you and I'll be alive in these bodies in this world. But that will take us right up to the end of this carry-on here. God loves each and every one of us. The Bible is a constant reminder that we do need it. Keep preaching the gospel. Make sure you've got your running shoes on. Don't be afraid of what people will say about you or do to you. Don't forget the number of times the Lord just passed through the people. He probably said, look, there's a spider in the wall. Did your dad ever do that? And when you look at the spider in the wall, you take one of your potatoes off your plate.
There's a spider in the wall, and everybody looks and just walks through and disappears. Preach the gospel. The incident in season and out of season, you never know when you're, as the fellow says, your day will come and you get to stand up for Jesus Christ. You take every opportunity people's souls depend on. God bless you. Thank you very much indeed. I guess we have a final hymn. Mrs. Bradfield, would you play number 2 in the wee black book for us? And if you're fit, men will stand and sing as we sing this blessed old book. Hymn number 2 in the wee black book is this blessed old book. Thank you. Remember, Lord, these are things that we can use to talk to folks about. Please save souls, please use us, Lord. Don't be done with us. And please work in our lives and through our lives and the lives of others. Thank you for loving us, Father, and thank you for sending your Son to give his life and cross his heart. Please bless us as we go, Lord, and stay safely home and back at the next appointed time. Don't forget Lynn, Lord, and Will, and Christine and Mary Ann, your man Colin, Lord, for Carol and Stephen for Pakistan, those who couldn't should be here, Lord. And for those that have slipped and slid, Lord, pray your good hand upon them for restoration. We love you and praise you. We ask for all this in our private prayer requests. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a bit. We are